guys.
Amen. Jesus loves you, Brother Pete.
I never sung that song with more zeal. I never felt, when Susan was being rolled into surgery, that morning she got up and she was just as bright-eyed and feeling good. And I just said, honey, I said, I'm so proud of you. You know, David ran to the battle line when he faced Goliath. And she says, I'm not running. I'm being carried. Your prayers, guys, your prayers, your words of encouragement, all the different quotes and passages and things that we've received from you guys have just carried us. And we're overwhelmed, quite honestly. God showed us early on in this that this is a lot bigger than us and it's not about us. We try to keep that in mind. Susan's favorite quote that's been on our refrigerator for years is, you know, joy is not the absence of pain. It's a presence of God. Amen. And so we've been joyful the last 7 weeks. We've been joyful because of what Jesus said in John 16. You got your Bible? John 16. In John 16, Jesus left his public ministry and he started his private ministry, his personal ministry to his disciples. From then on to the rest of that gospel, Jesus is focusing on guys like us. He's focusing on men who have followed him and they haven't fallen away and they've stayed with him till the end. And so he's preparing them for what's coming ahead. One of the things God does, if we'll pay attention, is he prepares us for what's coming. Amen. We have no idea what's coming, but living in the fallen world like we're living in, there's pain, difficulty, trials. As a matter of fact, at the end of this whole passage in verse 31, he says, do you now believe? And Jesus had been telling them, you know, guys, I've been with you. I've discipled you. We've eaten together, traveled together, suffered together. We've seen God do great things together. But I'm going to have to leave. And when I leave, you can't go. And where I'm going, you will come. And then I'm going to come back and you'll rejoice. And then I'm going to leave again. And these guys' eyes are rolling around their head. They don't understand what he's saying. And so finally, he started talking a little more plainly to them. And then they said in verse 31... they believed. We believe you're a prophet. We believe you really did come from God. We believe. And Jesus says, do you really? Do you now believe? A time is coming, in fact, and has come, when you'll be scattered, each to your own home. You'll leave me alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I've told you these things so that you could have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. We try to make peace with reality. We try to stay in touch with the spiritual and the truths and the promises of God. These things being really real. These things being things that we can build our lives on, that we can put our trust in. These things that change us and that influence us in a way inwardly. Because when he said that you might have peace, he knew that this peace was coming. He knew what they were about to face in him being crucified and suffering like he suffered. And he tried to prepare them for that. I don't know how you prepare men, especially men who hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. But even when we have received the Holy Spirit, how do you prepare men for the kind of pain that this world can dish out? And so he was trying to prepare them for that. And in the process of trying to prepare him for that, he said, look, I'm going to be lonely, but I'm not lonely. You're going to leave me alone, but I'm not going to be lonely. When we go through pain and we go through difficulty and trials and hardship, God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
I mean, God is enough. If all we have is God, that's all we need.
Amen.
And sometimes you get down to the nubs when that's really all you got. Jehoshaphat, in his prayer in 2 Chronicles 20, when that great army was coming against him, they were overwhelmed. They knew they were going to be wiped out. They couldn't defeat them. And his prayer was long, and his prayer was, God, surely you're on our side. Godly, sure you're going to take up our cause. We're being treated unjustly. We're being suffering at the hands of people that we blessed in the past. And we don't know what to do. And we have no big plan. But then he came through, and he said, but our eyes are on you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, guys, what this whole spiritual thing, no matter what ministry or church or Christian endeavor it is, that everything is about drawing us into the presence of Christ. You know that we're just, that's our mantra, that's what we do, that's what we're about. We're going on a journey to intimacy with Jesus Christ. Why don't you come along? But it's like C.S. Lewis said in the Chronicles of Narnia in that first book when he was talking about Aslan. And the quote was made, you know, Aslan is loving, but he's not safe. And when you think about that, you don't have to struggle too much with Aslan is loving. But this whole not safe part is what we struggle with. He's not safe, and he wasn't safe to Jesus in Gethsemane when Jesus says, if there's any way for this cup to pass from me, let it pass. But not my will, but your will be done. And he wasn't safe at that point. He couldn't say, well, okay, I'll give you a pass. He was in the process of redeeming me and you to himself.
Amen.
He was in the process of establishing the gospel. And so he had to say no to that. So if safe means, and Oswald Chambers has a wonderful devotional on August the 2nd about this same passage, I've told you these things, that in me you can have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. But cheer up. Take heart. I have overcome the world.
Amen.
Guys, what he's talking about is when we live this Christian life, we live a life up here and we live a life in here. Things may be in great turmoil. The hurricane may be blowing at 200 miles an hour. But we can have peace in the eye of the storm here. That's what he's talking about. That peace he's talking about is not a peace where the pain goes away and the hurricane stops and doesn't move more in your direction. The hurricane may get better, worse. But the eye of the storm is still peace. Susan and I have been experiencing that peace, not just because of anything other than we have a great God, and he's a God of peace, and he's a God who gives you that joy and that peace when there's no good reason to have it. And we'd look at each other every day, and Susan looked at me one morning and she just said, something supernatural is going on here.
I
said, what do you mean? She says, I just feel so good. I mean, she just had brain surgery. She's fixing to have the gamma knife radiation. They found another spot in the front of her brain. And this is even before we got the blood clot and the tumor in the lungs. and she's still saying that this morning. As she's watching right now.
We love you, sister! Thanks for coming back, Mom.
But she said, something supernatural is going on here because I feel so peaceful. I feel, and I can't tell you how many times God, when we met with us a week ago, we met with the oncologist. And we had learned stuff all along the way. We knew she had cancer, but we didn't know it was fourth stage. We had never heard the word incurable and all that stuff. And we know that man can only do all that man can do. But where man stops, God takes it off.
Amen. Amen.
And we talk about personal abandonment and absolute trust. personal abandonment. It's like, beware the man that has nothing to lose. When you get to the point, and God helps us get to these points, we don't ever go there on our own. I mean, no man is going to go on his own. Jesus didn't want to go to the cross under his flesh. If there's any way to let this cup pass from me, let it pass. But Aslan is not safe when it comes to those things. He has a purpose in things, and he will accomplish his purpose. In the end, in the purpose, no matter what the pain is, in the process, the end and the reward is unbelievable. Now, there's where we've had to keep our eyes. We've had to keep our eyes on the reward. And the reward is pleasing him. The reward is making sure that we glorify him. The reward is making sure he gets his way, because we don't know our way. We don't know what's best. And so she's got this memory issue and the short-term memory issue going on and some confusion things, and that's kind of disheartening sometimes and frustrating. And the doctors aren't very helpful with that, and I don't blame them. I'm not saying that in a negative way. They just don't know why she's still having that. Obviously, when you go in there and take a golf ball-sized tumor out of your head, you're going to have some side effects. And that's another thing that we just get to trust God for. And put our faith in him and maintain our joy in him. And his grace is sufficient. But when Jesus was telling his disciples and preparing them, he says, you know, and this is so crucial in the Christian life. You guys are going to be scattered and you're going to leave me alone. And you remember what happened in Gethsemane when the guard showed up and they were going to arrest him and all the disciples took off into the night. So Jesus was telling them, you're going to leave me alone, but I won't be alone. I'm never alone. My Father's always with me. I'm sure most of us in here, if you truly do know Jesus Christ, you've experienced that. You've experienced that lack of loneliness when it's just you and the Lord sitting there in your living room in a chair contemplating what's going on. Amen. And Susan, after we heard this a week ago, talk with an oncologist, and he's saying, look, we can give you chemo that'll extend your life, but we can't cure this thing. And so we came out of there, and we were a little bit rocked. You didn't know where to go that way or that way, and you go. And so we got a cup of coffee set out on this little patio, outdoor patio they had there. And she says, I think I need a pick-me-up. Now, they have a beauty salon in the hospital over there. So we beelined it over there to get her hair trimmed and blow-dried and washed. Not in that order. And I went and took care of some business. I had to go down to medical records and get some copies of this, that, and the other. And she was up there. And afterwards, she came walking out, and she just glowed. And I said, you look beautiful. She says, I'm beautiful inside and out. And she said, while I was in there and my head was back and they were washing my hair, God says, Susan, I've got this. And that just changed everything. See, personal abandonment. When you hear that, personal abandonment's not hard to get to. When you just abandon it to the Lord and say, Lord, it's just your will, not our will. It's your glory, not our glory. And we're on your mission, not our mission. Every day we have to make God bigger and us less. Every day it has to be all about him and nothing about us. Think, do you want great things for yourself? That's not the way to go. Want great things for God. Ask God to let you accomplish great things in his name for his glory, so people will see what a great God we have. We just sang about it up here. We have a great God who gives us fellowship with one another and who gives us things like a band of brothers to encourage, to go through life with, to build each other up. But it's a spiritual battle, guy. I tell you right now, it's a spiritual battle to bring men together. It's supernatural to have a group of guys like this.
Amen.
And I don't say use those words lightly. It'd be great if there were groups like this and men that would gather in the Spirit of Christ from all kinds of churches and age groups and backgrounds and ethnic groups. It'd be great if we just had one anywhere you wanted to go, but unfortunately there's not groups like this. And it's not about just men getting together, it's about men connecting at the heart with God and with each other. You need a brother.
Amen.
And we've been overwhelmed by your love and your care and your concern and your prayer and support and giving, and every man needs that. I'm just sorry every man doesn't have it. I'm sorry men are out there going through what we go through, what you're going through right now. The world can really dish it out. And Jesus said in here, he says, look, the world's given me the worst it can give me. But I want you to know something. I have overcome it. Take heart. Get a grip. Don't start pity parties. Don't focus on yourself. Every time Susan and I have gotten down, we've realized we've gotten our eyes off of him and onto us and on the circumstances. And I'll tell you what, that'll rip your heart out. That'll stomp it on the ground. Just one little comment from someone can just send you spiraling down. Innocent comment, and the enemy will use it just to take the heart out of you and to take you to that place of despair and discouragement and hopelessness. And so you fight through that, because it's going to come and those moments are going to come. So you fight through it and you get to that place where he is. It's not the absence of pain. It's not that our circumstances have changed. But if you don't care where you are, you're never lost. And if you don't care what God does, if you get to the place where you say, God, if you, worst case scenario, which is best case scenario, it's the worst of times, it's the best of times. And we would say, worst case scenario, Susan dies. Well, that's a best case scenario for her. But I told her, I said, you know, if that happens, you're not going to miss me at all. I'm going to be devastated. It's all about me, honey. But we kept getting encouraged, not only by you guys, but we kept getting encouraged by Oswald Chambers and Charles Spurgeon. The devotionals these guys write, the level of spirituality and Christianity and the whole worldview and perspective that these men can help you get. We wouldn't have made it without it, and we're not going to make it. We're still in a marathon. We're still looking for oncologists, and I think we have one, and we're looking for a hematologist to manage your blood clot and just stuff that's going on that you have to do, and then you have to get treated, and then you have to see how that's going to work. And so we have a road ahead of us. But if you don't care what God does, and you have to work on not caring. And I found out something about fear. The big C word, everybody fears the C word, right? Everybody fears cancer. I feared cancer, and I still will if I'm not careful, because it'll take your life and do some pretty rough things to you as it does. It can. But I got to a point where I said, God, I'm not going to be afraid anymore of cancer. Cancer can't do anything to us or to Susan that you don't allow it to do. And we're not going to be afraid of it anymore. The little prophet told Jehoshaphat, look, you got this big army. They're coming through this pass right here. I want you to take your people, put the choir and the band out front praising God, and I want you to go down and face them tomorrow. See, because this battle is not yours, it's God's battle. But the only way God's battle is if I abandon all personal rights, if I abandon my will, if I abandon what I want, then I get what he wants. And he's free to give me what he wants, and whatever he gives is good because he's a good God, but he may not be safe. If safe means that he's going to do what I want him to do, if he's going to work it out the way I want it to work out. Bear with me while I get back to the Oswald Chambers. An average view of the Christian life is that it means deliverance from trouble. It's deliverance in trouble, which is very different. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, there he shall feel no evil, and no evil will befall him. No plague could come near the place where you are at one with God. If you're a child of God, there certainly will come times of trouble. But Jesus says, don't be surprised when they come. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, and there's nothing for you to fear. I've got this. God does not give us overcoming life. He gives us life as we overcome. The strain is the strength. If there's no strain, there's no strength. Are you asking God to give you life and liberty and joy? He cannot unless you'll accept the strain. Immediately you'll face the strain and you'll get the strength. Overcome your own timidity and take the step, and God will give you to eat from the tree of life, and you will get nourishment. If you spin yourself out physically, you become exhausted. But spin yourself spiritually, and you get more strength. Amen. God never gives strength for tomorrow, just for this hour, for this strain of the minute. The temptation is to face difficulties from a common sense standpoint. See, the real saint is hilarious when he's crushed with difficulties because the thing is so ludicrously impossible for anybody but God. So we get to be in a place that's impossible for anybody but God. We get to be. There's a sense in trouble and trial with you and me because we know Jesus Christ, and the mission is to glorify him with our lives and our bodies and our responses and our attitudes and our behavior. We get to do that. A time will come when Susan and I and you won't have the opportunity to glorify God the way we do now. And the best way to glorify God, if you want to glorify God, is to glorify God in your pain, not in your successes and the good life, if you will. Whatever pain you're in, glorify God in it. Whatever pain you're in, find the joy, fight through. And if you're under the circumstances, guys, it's because if you look at others, you get distressed. If you look at yourself, you get depressed. Look at Jesus, you're always blessed. Keep focus, sir. Keep focus. And I had a guy remind me of that this morning. One of my favorite Leachman stories. It's when he was running that marathon. He's gotten to the 20th mile. They say something about the 20th mile. If you can get past the 20th mile, you can finish this thing. But do you really want to quit about that time? And he was stumbled up to a water table. And this Marine was standing there. This is a Camp Pendleton marathon. This Marine standing there in his blues, at attention, handing water out when guys come by. And Jerry stumbles up there, and this Marine evidently could tell he's about ready to quit. So he hands him the water and says, "Focus, sir, focus." And another friend of mine was running in a marathon. I get to hear the stories. I don't have any marathon stories. I'm running them. I got some in this marathon. Amen. Amen. But not in those. And he's running and he's feeling the same way. He's about ready to quit. He's just slowed down. And he told the Lord, he said, Lord, if you don't do something, I'm quitting. Have you ever felt that way? If you don't do something, I'm quitting here. I got nothing. I got nothing to give, nothing to go take another step with. And he says, if you don't do something, this guy comes up beside him, sees he's struggling. Hey, man, come on. Not that much further. You made it this far. You can get there. Now cheer up. See that finish line. He says, look, I'm going to go on. And I'm going to get on up there, and I want to see you at that finish line. You going to be there? I guess. He trots on ahead, and on the back of, remember Coca-Cola? They had that Coca-Cola, Jesus is a real thing. He had a t-shirt on the back of it said, Jesus is a real thing. So he needed it, and God trotted a guy with Jesus is a real thing on right up next to him. We had Uber drivers. I didn't know how to do Uber before I went to Houston. Believe me, I know how to do Uber now. Uber drivers from all over the world, all over Africa, the Middle East, from South America and Mexico. And praise the Lord for GPS. We had Uber drivers praying for us. I can't tell you how many Christians drive Uber cars. In Houston, I don't know about Southern Cal. But in Houston, it's unbelievable how many. And then when Susan was having one of her worst days, when she was despaired, and this was after her surgery, they wanted to let her out 3 days after, and she wasn't ready. And she was actually in there for 10 days, 11 days in the hospital, which is unheard of. But she developed some real complications. And she was despairing. And this guy came in to give her an EEG on her brain, and that's when they discovered she was having these seizures in her brain. And this guy goes up and he says, well, I'm a miracle. And he started telling us his story of his life and how he was fourth stage, and he went to this church and they prayed for him and he got healed. And the nurse that was in there at the same time, no, she wasn't a nurse. They have an unbelievable dining thing at MD Anderson. This is one first class place, let me tell you. And when they come to serve you your food in your room, they've got bow ties and vests like me on, and they got black pants, and they look like you're in a 5-star restaurant. And you can order food all day long, as much as you want, anytime you want. It takes about an hour to get there, but you can order it anytime and anything you want. And they've got a crazy menu that's got all kinds of great stuff on it. And so this gal that was delivering the meal was in there at the same time. And she told us her story. She's a pastor's wife. She and both of them end up praying over Susan. We just ran into everywhere we went. We ran into Christians. It's unbelievable where the body of Christ is and how they minister to you and to each other. Amen. So we decided not to quit. We decided that we were going to run this marathon to the end that Jesus has. We're going to run it, though, with you. Amen. We're going to run it with your help and your encouragement, and we're going to encourage you and yours. If God doesn't do one other thing, let's ask him to take this whole group, me and you, let's take us to another level. Another level of fellowship, another level of encouragement, another level of being brothers in Christ. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, he'll give you fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will purify you from all sin. And that we wouldn't do this just for us. And God showed us early on, this is not about you and Susan. It's bigger than that. I'm doing something much bigger than just you and Susan here. And I'm trusting you with this. And we had this strong sense that God was trusting us with what was coming and what's going to come. Will we prove to be trustworthy? I have a God who will not forsake me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. And I will not forsake him. Amen. By his grace, I will not. In my flesh, I'm dead meat. But because of the prayers of the saints, we're being carried to a place where we won't forsake him. Because he won't forsake us. Amen. He'll never leave us. And in your time when you're scattered, as those disciples were scattered, he doesn't hold it against us. He didn't rebuke those guys. He said, you're going to leave. I know you're weak. And you're going to leave, and you're going to leave me alone. But don't worry, I won't be alone. And he was concerned for them. He says, I want you to have peace in that. I want you to remember that I have called peace down for you after you've run off and left me alone. He was concerned about them, that they would be destroyed because they were disloyal. He didn't want us to be destroyed because we're disloyal. Because in your heart of heart, you never meant to be disloyal. Your heart of heart is to be loyal, right? God knows your heart of heart, and that's what he judges. He doesn't judge our momentary failures. He doesn't judge our weakness in the moment of weakness. He knows your heart. Praise God. Amen. God knows our heart, and there's grace for us who fail. There's grace for us when we're weak. There's grace for us and forgiveness for us in our sin and willfulness and selfishness. There's no God like our God. Do you want his glory? Do you want God to be glorified in what you're going through right now? Well, then glorify him. Amen. Then call down joy from heaven. Let all the angels sing around you. Find yourself praising at the throne of God. Get to that place where you don't care anymore. Get to that place where God can help himself to your life. And we've said that before. Ministry is creating an environment where the Holy Spirit can come and help himself to your life. And when I said that thinking, I don't know what I was thinking. I sure wasn't thinking this. But this is what it is. And as we say, it is what it is. So you enter out with me.
Yeah.
I know you are. Guys, let's go shake the world. Let's go show them what God is like. Let's show them our God is God and he has overcome the world. Amen. The world can do its worst to us, but God has overcome. Take heart. Be of cheer. Amen. I've overcome the world. And if you want to overcome the world, people are going to go, wow, it's nothing logical. Why do you feel so good? How can you have that joy? How can you have that peace? Everybody going, how you doing? How you doing? We're doing great.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
And as long as we keep our eyes on him, and you sure have helped us do that. Can I just tell you that? We've needed everything you've given us, and you've helped us do it. Amen, sweetie pie.
Amen.
Getting them... big amen. Sure. They want to pray for you, honey, and I know you're not going to turn that down. Come on, come here, Bob.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen.
Don't bore us, okay?
Not my words, but his.
You're going to have to bend down here.
Don't blow it, Duncan.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We glorify you, Father, at this very moment. I pray a special blessing over Sister Susan, Father. Just wrap your loving arms around her, Lord, in a manner that is so God-sized, so incredible, so not of this world, Lord, that she will be the shining light in everywhere she goes, everywhere she sees, Father. And I pray a special blessing to the Lord Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who healeth, Lord. If you will, Father, you can heal her right now, and we pray for that, Father. We believe you can. We believe you will. And we are going to stand on the power of Jesus Christ and the power of that resurrection that we just exhibited a few weeks ago, Father. I pray that not one person leaves this auditorium without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because that's what Pete's talking about, Lord. It's bigger than them. It's bigger than all of us, Father. We want to go to heaven for you forever, Father. And I pray a special blessing over Pete and his family, the entire clan, Father God. Put angels, your most powerful angels in all the heavens, Father. Put them in front of them. Put them in back of them. Put them to the right of them and put them to the left of them, Father. Put one on top and one on the bottom, Father, and guard them so mightily with your right right hand that nothing can stand. Nothing will come against them, Father. You will never forsake them. You will never leave them, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people say, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Get out there and get them heaven.